But then we wind up breaking it. God is faithful. Notice Hebrews 10 and verses 22 and 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 22 and 23. Said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is 100% faithful, never varying, never changing, never altering from it. David said in Psalm 119 and verses 137 and through 139, Psalm 119 and verse 137, he said, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. Absolutely, God is faithful. But sadly, too much of mankind is not, as you well know. Interesting scripture in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and verse 6, and it says, most men will proclaim each their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? So much of mankind is so vain and puffed up and self-righteous and proud that they are quick to toot their own horn, so to speak, and make themselves look faithful when they have no idea truly what God's standard of faithfulness is. They look to their own standard. The word goodness means goodness or liberality, with a special sense of bounty and benevolence. There's a huge contrast, as he brings out, between the liberal person and the one that is not, and who boast of their liberality, but they are very, very selfish. It seems difficult for most to do a good deed and then not tell somebody about it. I've seen people that will fast and they just almost bust at the seam to let you know that they're fasting or that they did fast or whatever. Now, there's times when that's proper and when that's good, but there's other times when, like Christ said, when you do your alms, when you fast, you know, don't look like you're dying. Don't look like you're trying to appear before men, because that is your reward. But God says that, you know, when you fast, do it in humility and faithfulness. Probably a better translation here would be, who can find a man faithful in goodness? It means fidelity. It means faithfulness, trusting, trustworthy, and it means full of faith. In Matthew 25, the words of Jesus Christ in verses 14 through 23, Matthew 25 and verse 14, Matthew 25 and verses 14 through 23. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then in verse 16, he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and he dug in the ground and he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, because God is patient, God is loving and does give us a lot of time, as was brought out in the excellent sermonette. And so he said, and after a long time, in verse 19, the Lord of those whose servants came settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. So he had 10 talents now. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And in verse 22, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I think you're all familiar with what happened to the one that had the 1 talent. But you know, God has given each of us talents and abilities and financial aid and so forth. But these two doubled what God had given them. They worked a long time, and they doubled the talent that God had given them. They worked really hard. They put forth the effort. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't get despondent. They put forth the effort to be faithful in what God had given them. You know, God calls us to change. None of us were called to stay the same. God calls us to become like Him, to change, to produce fruit, and to grow. We recently, in a sermon, read about the 10 virgins before the return of Christ, and it says every single one of them slumbered and slept. And I think that's indicative of our society and, sadly, of all of the people that even have God's Holy Spirit, that we've all slumbered and slept. But God wants to see us bear fruit. He wants to see us take action. Just like Jesus Christ said, that servant whom he finds so doing when he returns is the one that's going to be blessed. Let me ask you point blank. Are you pleased with your attitude and with your growth toward God? And more importantly, is God pleased with your attitude and with your growth toward Him? Paul paid a wonderful, fantastic tribute to faithful Christians. Notice Ephesians, the 1st chapter, and the 3 verses. Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So in this one sentence, he calls a truly converted Christian both a saint, one that is set apart to do the will of God, and faithful. He said, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. The Apostle Paul referred to the true Christians as being faithful. To me, that's an extremely high compliment, to be called faithful. God is faithful, and those who worship God also must be faithful. You know, God has a special feeling, a special love for those that are faithful Christians. Some of you, as Marcus mentioned, have been faithful to God for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and struggling to overcome and trying to be like Him and trying to improve yourself and trying to change to truly live up to Matthew 5 and verse 48. Be you, or become you, therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. He watches over and He preserves those that are faithful to Him. God doesn't take it lightly. He doesn't just ignore it. Notice Psalm 31 and verses 23 through 24. Psalm 31 and verse 23 through 34. Oh, love the Lord, all His saints, all of you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. Look at the contrast drawn here between a faithful saint and a proud person. Makes you wonder why David was inspired to write it this way. Is this implying that a proud, vain, haughty person, a person filled with vanity, cannot be faithful because of the only interest is in themselves and pleasing themselves and wrapped up in themselves and wrapped up in self-righteousness to the extent that they've lost the ability to be faithful to God, the ability to serve others and to give of themselves to others? In so many instances in the Scripture, in studying for this sermon, it's amazing how service ties directly in with faithfulness, and they go hand in hand and cannot be separated. Notice an interesting attribute of someone who is faithful. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. A talebearer, one who loves to stir up strife, one who loves to get the latest juicy information of something that might be bad or a rumor or something like this, probably 90-something percent of the time is not even true and doesn't have any basis in anything. But he said a talebearer reveals secrets, whether true or false. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So someone who is faithful is loving and kind and does not spread rumors. They're not gossipers. They're not judgers. They do not judge their brothers or sisters, but rather they love them. They're not ones who cause or spread dissension or division. But on the other hand, they are ones who spread love and peace among the brethren. Their actions are pure. They are considerate of others. They care for others. They don't judge. They don't condemn others. They love others. They don't accuse others, or do they impute motives to others. Here's another trait of a faithful Christian. Over a couple of chapters, Proverbs 13 and verse 17. Proverbs 13 and verse 17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. A Christian ambassador is one who is faithful in carrying God's word, the gospel, the hope of the world, to the world. When your life is on the line and it's threatened because of your belief in the true and living God And I talked about that, I think, to quite extent last Sabbath. Are you going to be an unfaithful coward? Or will you be faithful in your belief to God and stand tall and be willing to face whatever your chief shepherd and your owner and your master has in store for you? Will you stand tall for the truth of God, or will you deny and wind up as a horrible witness to those who persecute you? To walk tall, to be fully full of faith and trust and belief, to be faithful to Almighty God. I've mentioned several times recently that I do firmly believe, and I think you believe, that we are going to have to face some very rough and hard times between now and the time of the return of Christ. We're going to face our own Red Sea. We're going to face our own temptation on the mountain like Christ did. We're going to face what Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego faced. And perhaps like them, God will not intervene until the last particle of a split second. They actually even fell down into the fire. And the fire was so hot that it burned and made crispy critters out of the guards that held them. And at that point, and only then, did God intervene for them. And they told Nebuchadnezzar, "Hey, Neb, I don't care what you do to us, we are not going to bow down and worship you, because we worship the true God." You know, as we sat here in nice clothes, and you've got a pretty dress on today or a nice suit, and it's awfully easy to say, "Oh yeah, man, I'll go all the way. Put me in, coach. I'm ready, boy. I'm ready to go all the way." But when your life is threatened, and when a split second decision means whether you might live or die, what are you willing to do for your love for Almighty God? Are you willing to go all the way? Is your life securely placed in the hands of your chief shepherd and of a faithful God? Do you really, really have faith, trust in God, that He is in charge of your life, that He owns you, and He is looking out for your well-being, and He wants you to be in His kingdom? In Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 7 and 8, Romans 14 and verses 7 and 8. Romans 14 and verses 7 and 8. "For none of us lives to himself. No man is an island. And no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Because he owns us. We belong to him. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." So it really doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter really, as long as you make it into God's kingdom. That's why we're put on this earth. That's why God gives us of his Spirit. That's why he brings us to the place of repentance, so that we can be born into God's very family. And so no matter what it takes, if that's martyrdom, great. If that's living, great. If that's to suffer all kinds of persecution, wonderful. If that's to suffer all kinds of blessings, fantastic. But whatever God does so that you can be in his kingdom, that is the most important thing of all. That's it. If we miss out on God's kingdom, that is it. And we've had it. So no matter what we go through, no matter what we endure, in the end, it really does not matter as long as you're faithful. If you're faithful to God, then you have it made. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 12 and 13, 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 12 and 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Those that are self-righteous and self-smug within themselves, they think, oh, I got it made. And little do they know, just like he told the church at Laodicea, he said, you think you're rich and increased with good, and you're blind and naked and can't even see it. And he says in verse 13 here, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, God is faithful to you, and all you have to do is be faithful to Him, and you will be born in God's family. In Proverbs 25 and verse 13, Proverbs 25 and verse 13, Proverbs 25 and verse 13, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. You see, a faithful servant, a faithful messenger, a faithful Christian is like a breath of fresh air to this world. And I think it's a breath of fresh air to God the Father because of your faithfulness. In Proverbs 28 and verse 20, Proverbs 28, just three chapters over, Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. If all we do is have our mind on the physical, on self-aggrandation, on getting more and obtaining more and having wealth, then we're going to fail. I believe Satan the devil has engineered this society to where most are consumed with trying to earn a living or getting by or sometimes even getting ahead to the extent that we don't have time for God, that we put the physical in front of God, and we're willing to work 8, 10, 12, 14 hours a day, and yet we can't seem to find 30 minutes or an hour for the Almighty. People want so much, but they go about it totally, completely the wrong way. They go about it the wrong direction to obtain what they really desire. God says if you're faithful, you will abound in blessings. Trials can be blessings. Finances can be blessings. Good health can be blessings. Trials in health can be blessings. How faithful are you to God? If basically all you have your mind on is physical, is gaining more for yourself, constantly striving after the wind, vain and foolish things, then we might be very faithful in the pursuit of worldly possessions, but chances are we are extremely lacking in the spiritual realm. Do you really, really have faith in God? Is it just an expression? Is it perhaps just words? Do you honestly trust God and believe in His faithfulness? Or is your faith in your own self and your own abilities? I believe well, for all of mankind for that matter. I started to say, I think here in the South we're worse than perhaps other places, but maybe not. But most of us have been brought up and taught that we have to do everything of and through and by and with ourselves. And that big boys don't cry, that big boys take care of the situation. And never taught to rely and depend on Almighty God. Yes, work and work, just like the two individuals that we read about earlier, where they doubled because of hard work and labor. They doubled what God had given them. In Matthew 6 and verses 19 through 34. Matthew 6 and verse 19 through 34. And for those of you that have a, quote, red letter Bible, as you notice, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Seem like nothing is safe anymore. A bank could burn down. Your safe could be cracked or opened. Your house could be robbed. But the important part, he said in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that is a living principle. He said in verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If, therefore, your eye is good, and it's not talking about how good your vision is, but it's talking about what you are looking for and what you are looking at. If, therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Because here God has called us. He's given us the sacrifice of His beloved Son. He's granted us the opportunity to come to a place of repentance and to be baptized and to receive of His Holy Spirit. And then we turn from it. He says, how full is that darkness? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. He says, impossible. You can't keep a foot or 2 feet or half of your body or 3/4 of your mind, whatever, in the world and expect that you are faithful to God. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money, finances. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Do you think God doesn't love you more because of the wonderful sacrifice that He was willing to give for you so that you can be in His family? Which of you worrying can take or add 1 cubit to His stature? You can worry and fume and fuss and just make yourself an absolute idiot because you're trying to gain height and it does not gain anything. So are you not more value? He said, which of you worrying can add 1 cubit to His stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. There's some biblical scholars that have estimated that Solomon's wealth was more than the grand total of every human being in the United States of America, including the government and everything. He had any and everything that he wanted. He had the finest clothes money could buy. And yet when you take a microscope and you look into a flower, the deeper you go, you get into the cells and so forth, and you see more perfection. You see more beauty. You take a suit or a dress and you put it under a microscope, and you're going to see that, well, this particular thread right here is broken. And this thread over here is really threadbare, and I think it's going to break here in a few minutes. And this thread here is not really colored like it's supposed to be. And the deeper you look, the more flaws you're going to find in even the clothing that we wear. And yet God says he has clothed the lilies of the field, and yet we lack faith and trust and confidence in God. And yet I say in verse 29 unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek. That's all they've got their mind on. But a very well-known verse in the church of God. Therefore do not worry, in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Because it said right before that, that God knows what we have need of. He understands what we have need of. Therefore, in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about the things of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How many sleepless nights have you had worrying because you truly do not honestly believe? Do you trust? You trust God? Do you believe God? Do you really think that God can intervene and do what he says he can and will do here, and that he will do it for you? Was Christ just trying to think of something nice to say? Was he just coming up with some analogies here that said, oh, well, this might be encouraging to the people, and I will tell them this? Or do you think he was talking about real, deep trust and belief that you can stake your life on, that you can truly believe in God, really, deeply, and believe? God is faithful. The question is, do you believe and trust in his faithfulness to the extent that you will be faithful to God in return? In Luke, the 16th chapter, again, we read the words of Christ, Luke 16, and verse 10 through 14. Luke 16, and verses 10 through 14. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? This world doesn't have the true riches. I don't care how many millions or billions or trillions of dollars you might have, that is not where it's at. J. Paul Getty was the richest man of his time and his day. He died weighing, what was it, 60-something pounds? Because he was so paranoid that he thought somebody was going to kill him. And he said that he would trade all of his billions of dollars for one happy marriage. God shows you how to have a happy marriage. God gives you the keys and unlocks the door that J. Paul Getty could not find with his billions and billions of dollars that he had. Who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all of these things, and they derailed him. They didn't like it. It made them mad. You know, God gives us credit if we're faithful in little things. And he says that we're going to be faithful in the big things as well. What are you dedicated to? Where is your heart? What is your heart faithful in? What do you love the most? Riches? Vanity? A mate? A job? A parent, a child? Where is your heart? Is it in lust? What truly is the most important thing in your life? Is it that next drink? Is it that consuming lust that rages inside of you? What is the most important thing to you? Is it nicotine that you cannot conquer? Anything that you put in front of the Almighty God is your God, and that's idolatry. And that's sin. What is most important to you? A mate, children, a job, home? Is it a bank account? Is it a whiskey bottle? What is the most important thing in your life? What motivates your life? Are you faithful to God as He is to you? Is it faithfulness, not ability, in the Lord's service that we are approved by Him? Notice Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3 and verses 22 through 26. I'll go ahead and read that because you may struggle to try to find it. Not a book that we refer to a lot. It said, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, as we saying earlier, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And isn't that the truth? None of us would be here if it was not for the mercy and the faithfulness and compassion of God Almighty. Like that powerful hymn that we sang earlier, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It says, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As you have been, you forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Verse 2, summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to the great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And then the last verse. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. How truly great the faithfulness of our Almighty God really is. I will ask our song leader to repeat that song when we're through so that we can really concentrate and think on the words. Who's going to qualify to be with Jesus Christ when he returns? Will you be there? Will I be there? Will we make it? Notice Revelation 17 and verse 14. Revelation 17 and verse 14. Of course, we realize that the world is going to combine forces to literally fight against Jesus Christ at his return. Revelation 17 and verse 14, it says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. I mean, there's no competition. You know, he's a spirit being, and here these puny people are going to try to fight him. It doesn't even make sense. But notice who's with him. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. There are three things listed here about a true Christian and what they're going to be like when Christ returns. Number one, it says called. As I mentioned earlier, you're not in God's church by accident. God has called you. He has picked you out. Number two is chosen. Not only were you called, many are called, but few are chosen. God handpicked and chose you. God has no accidents in his family. God has no cabooses. He has no surprises. God handpicked and called you to be in his church. And God doesn't have people in his church by accident. He didn't call the mighty. He didn't call the wise, rather he called us, the weak of the world. You are chosen by God for this great and awesome calling, the high calling in Christ. And then the third thing he says is that they are faithful to him. It's a two-way street. It's reciprocal. It's a matter of give and trust and faith on both parts. Yeah? You realize that God has faith in you, or he would have never called you. He would have never granted you his Holy Spirit. God did not call you to condemn you. God called you so that you can make it into his family. God has faith in you. He trusts that you're going to do the right thing. In Easton's Bible Dictionary, under faithful, It says, as a designation of Christians, it means full of faith, trustful, and not simply trustworthy. Being faithful, of course, means that you're trustworthy, that you can be given something, you can be given a job, a responsibility, and you're faithful in fulfilling that job and that responsibility. But it also means that you are full of faith. So the word faithful has two major meanings. It means that you're going to be trustworthy, never giving in, never giving up, never quitting. And the second major meaning means to be full of faith, trusting, submitting, and yielding to the will of God. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 1 Corinthians 1 and verses 4 through 9, he said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we earnestly desire his return to this earth. You know, there are, quote, some Christians, end quote, that dread the return of Christ because they know they are not faithful, but rather eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, who will also confirm to you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful, and he handpicked and selected you. No one is here by accident. God has a plan for you, and he is faithful to work that plan out if you will be faithful to him. We open this sermon with Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verses 22 and 23. Let's back up to verse 19, Hebrews 10, and verse 19 through 23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We've all heard the Marine motto, simple, Fidelis, which means always faithful. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. I hope that applies to each and every one of us. Let's close with 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God did not call you to fail. You can make it into God's kingdom. Trust in that faithfulness of God and be faithful to God.